بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters، الله سبحانه وتعالى said زهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليزيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. الله سبحانه وتعالى said in سورة الروم that the facade, the trials, tribulations, difficulties, calamities which have spread on the sea and the land are the result of the deeds that are earned by our hands, aidinnas, the hands of people. And Allah says that He allows these things to happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to stop it. But He does not stop it, He allows it to happen so that we people can get a taste of the result of our own actions. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُونَ. And this is the mercy of Allah, because Allah says so that they can return to Allah. Return to Allah meaning that they can stop doing the kinds of things which are creating the problems, and they can correct themselves, correct their lives, correct their ways, and therefore make their lives and make society harmonious and pleasant. And free from the pain and suffering that society is facing today. Now, usually, in some of my workshops, I ask people to draw a circle, including everyone in their lives. And almost invariably, people draw a circle in which they are not there. So the circle they draw is like outside, and they are outside the circle. Now this is a big mistake, because we are not excluded when we are talking about people, when we are talking about society, when we are talking about the environment. We are part of that. We are very much part of that. And therefore we have the choice to be part of the problem or part of the solution. Now, consciously, we don't make this choice. I mean, I don't think people actually consciously make a choice to say, I want to be part of the problem. But you are. I am. Unless we become consciously part of a solution. Only when we decide to become part of the solution, then we are no longer part of the problem. Now, what is the problem? The problem today, if I want to put it in one word, it is, or one phrase, it is lack of consideration. Lack of consideration. We are not concerned about anybody else. We are concerned only and only about ourselves. So there is the tyranny of feeling, which I mentioned about somewhere else in another podcast, where we feel that my feelings, whatever I'm feeling, is the most important thing, and therefore I can disregard everybody else's feelings, and if anyone else is doing something which I like to interpret as making me feel bad, then it is incumbent upon them to change their ways so that their actions become compliant with and become consistent with what I want them to do. So, my feelings. Now, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's a extremely arrogant, individualistic stance. But that is what has happened in society. The interesting thing is that every society, irrespective, I mean, we are here, we are talking about Islam and so on, but irrespective of that, every society is based on one simple principle, and that is the control of individual feelings, individual aspirations, individual desires, in such a way that results in goodness for everyone. So, controlling myself, controlling my feelings, my actions, to the extent that they don't harm or cause any problem to anybody else. So obviously, I am free to express my feelings. I must be free to be myself. So it's not as if I'm put into a straitjacket. But like they say, my freedom ends where your nose begins. So my freedom has to be curtailed, has to be within certain bounds. So freedom of speech, for example, does not give me the right to use foul language to somebody. It does not give me the right to curse someone, to use profanity, to scream and yell and shout in the name of freedom of expression. Similarly, everything else, right? If I'm driving a car, then I'm compelled to follow certain rules of the road. I can't say, well, you know, I feel like driving here, so I will drive. No, you cannot. If there is a rule in that road, you have to follow the rule. I would say, oh, well, you see, my freedom is curtailed. Of course it is curtailed. It absolutely has to be curtailed, because if you are allowed to exercise your freedom, you will kill yourself and or somebody else. Similarly, everything else. My house, my surroundings, for example, at least in America, we have this, there's this social pressure that your yard, if you're living in an independent house, then your lawn, your garden, and so on, there's no pressure that it should look beautiful, but certainly there's pressure to say that it must not look like a garbage dump, right? It must not look ugly. If there is a lawn, it should be mowed. If there is garbage, it must be kept out. There should not be trash all over the house, all over the yard. If you do that, then somebody will come and talk to you about it. Because your house and your yard contributes to the image of that particular locality, particular neighborhood. And people say, well, you know, we are welcome to be to exercise your freedom, but you cannot do that in a way which detracts from the good name and the atmosphere of the place. Similarly, you have a dog which barks too much, somebody will object. In most towns in America, for example, you are allowed to keep chickens, but you're not allowed to keep roosters, because the roosters will crow in the morning and people say, you know, you can't disturb the peace, you can't disturb other people, so you can't keep loud birds or animals in your house. If you want to do that, then you have to go into a farming area where you can have roosters and cows and whatnot, but not in a town area. So the whole point is that this is something which we accept and understand. But when it comes to individual feelings, we seem to live in a world of make-believe where we feel that whatever we feel like doing is fine, as long as I like it, I can do it. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that this kind of unbridled self-indulgence is the reason for, and it's the cause of, the fasad that we are seeing on the land and in the sea. So when I'm talking about a circle, I'm saying, therefore, what we should do is to look at ourselves and say, where am I in this? Am I causing this fasad? Are my actions causing the problems of the world? Now, you might say, well, you know, me, one act, one person. No, but everything is linked. Everything is connected. Like we talk about the butterfly, in creating a global storm, you talk about the butterfly flapping its wings in the Amazonian rainforest causes, it doesn't literally do that, but it's something which is figuratively to be understood, that the individual action has a global impact. So therefore, I need to look at myself, because my action has a global impact, number one. Number two, I am the only person who can connect my actions. Nobody else can do that. I can't do it for somebody else. So therefore, I have to look at my actions and say, what do I contribute? Now, one of the most important things to think about here is that the thing that truly benefits is two things. One is gratitude for what blessings we have. And number two is to share that with others. So sharing, gratitude and sharing. Now, many times when we are looking at our lives, this is very typical human nature. We focus on the negatives. They are the things. It's like getting a little speck of dust in your eye, right? Now you get focused totally on that speck of dust. Your eye is watering and so on. If somebody says, just look around you, see this beautiful scenery, or here's this fantastic painting, you are not capable of doing anything. The speck of dust in your eye is the overwhelming force in your life at that time. So until you get it out of your system, the same thing we do with our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us enormous amount of benefits. For example, you say, oh my God, it's so hot. But we forget the fact that we're living in centrally air-conditioned houses, going to centrally air-conditioned offices, in air-conditioned cars. So where is this heat? Yeah, it's so hot. How is it hot? Where are you feeling this heat? Are you working on a construction site in Kuwait in the summer? I mean, that is heat. That is heat, right? You don't have to fry eggs. You break the egg on the pavement and you get a fried egg. So the point is that we tend to look at the negatives almost exclusively, and we focus out the positives. For example, so I need glasses to read. Sure, but you have glasses, so it is wonderful. I mean, alhamdulillah. If you didn't have glasses, and then you said I need glasses, that would make sense. But if you're wearing glasses, there was a time when I wasn't. Life changes. With life, we change, and therefore, it is wisdom to accept the changes that have come into my life because of my age and say, alhamdulillah, I may be 70 years old, but alhamdulillah, I'm still able to walk freely. I can get up and go. I don't have to use a walking stick. I'm not in a wheelchair. My digestion works perfectly. I can eat any kind of food that I want to eat. My eyesight is fine. I can drive a car. And so on. I mean, the point is that instead of that, if you focus on this fact, God, I've got arthritis, my knees pain, and when I wake up in the morning, my whole body is so stiff and so on. Now, there is no end to that. If you want to focus on that, then all you will remember and feel is the pain. But instead of that, you say, alhamdulillah, the pain, okay, there's pain, but there's also painkillers. So if pain is so bad, eat the painkiller. I mean, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the antidote for that. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't bend down, I can't do sajda. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible to sit in a chair and pray because this is the rukhsa and the benefit in this deen. Allah makes it easy for us. So I'm still praying even though I'm sitting in a chair. Alhamdulillah, my prayer is as valid as it would have been if I had been going in sujood. Alhamdulillah. So the point is to consciously list the things that we should be grateful for. And that's why I recommend, the thing which I recommended the other day, which is to keep this book and say three goals for tomorrow. And at the end of the day, you say, how did I achieve these goals? Let me add something else to that, which is after you write the three goals for tomorrow, also write 10 things that you have to be grateful for. So do that as part of the exercise. On the left side of the page of the book, three goals for tomorrow, and then 10 things that I need to be grateful for. What am I conscious of? And doesn't matter if it's the same 10 things you write every day. Alhamdulillah. It doesn't need to be 10 new things. 10 things that I am grateful for, alhamdulillah. And you'll be surprised. Go into the details. See, as small things. Somebody's smile, somebody's companionship, and so on and so on. Because otherwise, you end up, one of the worst things is, even with company, right? With your spouse, whether your wife, your husband, or your children, or whatnot, if you continuously focus on the negative things, believe me, there has to come a time where you will only be left with bad memories, nothing else. It will be as if your life was only bad memories because you chose to remember only that. And what you remember, you will recall. And therefore, don't do that to yourself. Think about the good things. The bad things will come and go. The bad things will come and go, right? It's like the time you spend in the toilet compared to the time you spend in your drawing room, in your living room. Where do you spend more time? And if you are really spending more time in the toilet, there's something wrong with you, right? So think about that. So do you need it? You need the toilet? Of course, absolutely. There will be some negative thing in your life which has to be flushed out. Of course, you need it. But don't spend all your time there because that's not a nice place to be in. It is necessary. It happens. It's done, finished. Wash, get out. Spend time in the nice place. And in our lives as well, there are toilets and there are living rooms and drawing rooms and, places of with beautiful aromas and comfort. Spend time there. And that is where we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is the key thing to understand. As long as we are grateful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the blessing. We know the ayat of you know Surah Ibrahim. La in shakartum la zidannakum. And as I said, share this. Share the goodness with people. Sharing does not mean only material things. It doesn't mean you have to give people money or things. Sharing is everything. This is talking, company, just being with somebody, you know, whatever, right? Whatever is appropriate, share that. So feel the goodness, be grateful for the goodness, and share the goodness. Inshallah, this will create a, at the very least, a bubble around you of goodness. And if these bubbles touch and the bubbles multiply, alhamdulillah, we have a society which will be full of grace, full of thankfulness, full of gratitude, full of good companionship, alhamdulillah, and inshallah, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.